It's story time.
Hunting for Stravinsky. When you hear this sound, please turn the page. Chapter 1: Bicycles and Brains.
Gabe showed up right on time at 8 a.m. He smelled the air.
Banana bread?
My best friend asked. I handed him a piece of banana bread and finished mine.
Your mom always makes my favorite things,
Gabe said. Mom stuck her head out of her bedroom. She said,
I aim to please, Gabe. How exciting! The finals of the Stravinsky scavenger hunt. You boys should be proud of yourselves for making it so far. Good luck! Call me.
We will. See you, I said. We left the house. Her voice followed us.
Remember, David, look before you leap.
That was my mom's usual advice, because I did sometimes act first and think later. Outside, the air was cool, but the sun warmed the back of my neck as we rode to the library. Today was the last day of the kids' scavenger hunt. The contest had started with about 20 teams, but now it was down to 2 teams. Gabe and I knew we would have to work hard to beat the other team, a brother and sister named Jackson and Jasmine. A crowd of 20 or 30 people was already at the library. A few were reporters. Mayor Martinez wasted no time.
Welcome to the final day of our Stravinsky scavenger hunt. As you know, this is the last in a number of scavenger hunts honoring a different composer every month. These hunts are all leading up to one event, the opening of our new concert hall, which will have its first concert this weekend. This final scavenger hunt is special. Not only do all the clues focus on Igor Stravinsky, one of my favorite composers, it's also the only hunt that has been just for children. One of these teams will receive a prize and money for their college education,
she explained. Then she introduced Jackson, Jasmine, Gabe, and me. She said to the four of us,
Now remember, you may only use your bicycles and your brains. No cell phones, no rides, no money to pay for anything. Good luck,
the mayor said.
Chapter 2: Preschool Performance.
The mayor's helper handed Gabe an envelope with our first clue. Gabe tore it open. I looked over his shoulder and read aloud, Stravinsky saw a famous Tchaikovsky ballet when he was a boy. This ballet is based on a fairy tale. Figure out what the fairy tale is. Then go tell it to children at the Little Learners Preschool. Gabe, Jackson, Jasmine, and I hurried inside the library at the same time. I found the answer within seconds of getting on a computer. It's got to be Sleeping Beauty, I said.
Let's check to make sure it's the right answer,
Gabe said.
We don't need another Star-Spangled Banner situation.
No need to remind me, I said. We almost lost in the last round because I was sure that Stravinsky had been arrested for his arrangement of the Star-Spangled Banner. The story was untrue, although it had been repeated many times. Our wrong answer had slowed us down, and we had barely made it into the finals. Once we were certain we had the right answer, we were on our way. It's my old preschool, I told Gabe. 3 minutes later, we arrived, out of breath and getting hotter by the minute. A teacher greeted us and asked us to follow her down the hall.
What's your fairy tale?
She asked. Gabe told her.
Great. In 10 minutes, you'll perform Sleeping Beauty for 25 four-year-olds. You'll find costumes in here,
she said as she opened a door. She added,
If the children don't laugh, you'll have to wait 5 minutes for the next clue.
We immediately started planning and looking for costumes. It was almost time to begin when Gabe handed me something.
Here, wear this.
The things we have to do to win, I said. The children sat on the floor. I knew some of the teachers. Miss Rose, always a favorite of mine, gave me a thumbs up when she saw me. The children loved the tiara Gabe had made me wear. In fact, they loved everything about Sleeping Beauty. They clapped and screamed for more. Miss Rose told them we couldn't stay. She handed us an envelope with our next clue.
Good luck, boys,
she said as we waved goodbye.
Chapter 3. Moving Fast.
Outside, we opened the envelope. We read, what Disney movie had a Stravinsky song in it? What was the song? What was the movie? Go back to the library to find the answer to these questions. Then, go see Dr. Hamilton in the music department at the college. He will tell you whether your answers are correct. Back at the library, we discovered Jasmine and Jackson already sitting by a computer looking for answers to their clue questions. They left soon after we arrived. They're ahead of us! We need to hurry, I said. Gabe typed as fast as he could, and it didn't take us long to find our answers. I hoped the rain wouldn't stop us. We could hear thunder once we got back outside the library. Hopefully, Jackson and Jasmine don't know their way around the college like I do. Maybe it will slow them down, I said, as we got to the music building. I knew my way around because my mom works here. I also knew Dr. Hamilton, who would check our answers. I introduced Gabe and Dr. Hamilton when we got to the right office.
Let's see those questions and answers, Dr. Hamilton said.
I handed him our paper. Professor Hamilton read,
You have Rite of Spring as the song and Fantasia as the movie. These are correct.
He handed us an envelope and said,
Congratulations. You may open this once you are outside.
We shouted our goodbyes and thanks as we raced back to our bikes.
Chapter 4. Storm Clouds.
On the steps of the building, Gabe tore open the envelope and pulled out a small key and a piece of paper.
Go to the city storage building on Leafy Path in Pioneer Park and look for a box. Further instructions will be inside,
he read. Pioneer Park was on the southern edge of town in some woods. Campers loved it. But daily rain, lots of it, was keeping people away these days. We had to cross a stream to get to Leafy Path, so we left our bikes near the bridge and hurried across it. The bridge was barely above the water. About then, the storm came, and raindrops began to hit us as we crossed the stream. The wind bent tree branches nearly to the ground. I liked getting cooled off, but I was afraid that we would get slowed down. The building was about 4 minutes up the path. The door was open. As soon as we stepped in, we saw two boxes. The lid was off the one labeled with Jasmine and Jackson's names.
Oh, they're still ahead of us,
Gabe said sadly. We can still do this, I said. I unlocked our box and pulled out a cell phone and another envelope. I pulled out a single sheet of paper. Lightning cracked and thunder made it hard for us to hear each other. The paper was difficult to read because it was so dark outside now and there were no lights in the building. Get 10 or more friends together at the Friendship Music Store in 20 minutes. With either real or pretend musical instruments. Look for Jamal, who works there. He will provide a sound system, and you will direct a flash mob as they pretend to play Stravinsky's Rite of Spring. Gabe and I both laughed as we pictured what we would be doing next. Then, Gabe called Amanda and asked her to get some of our friends together. "Let's go," I said as soon as he had hung up. I was already halfway out the door when Gabe stopped me.
"Look at the lightning. We aren't going anywhere,"
he said.
"We want to be alive to claim our prize, right?"
I knew he was right, but I hated watching the downpour for the next 10 minutes. The rain stopped as suddenly as it had started, and we ran to the stream as fast as we could.
"Where's the bridge?"
we asked at the same time.
Chapter 5. Flash Flood. Gabe looked both ways, shading his eyes from the sun, which was bright again.
"It must have gotten washed away. But isn't there another bridge over that way?"
he asked, pointing. "We need our bikes, and we'd lose too much time coming back for them. We need to cross there," I insisted, pointing at some nearby rocks. "Travis and I have crossed there lots of times." Travis is my brother. He's older than me by a year.
"It's too dangerous,"
Gabe said. "Gabe, this is the only way," I said. "Think of getting money for college. We still have a chance." I didn't mention that I'd never done this when the water was rushing so fast, but I wasn't worried. I also knew reminding Gabe about college would convince him. Even though college was years away, Gabe was the youngest of 5 children, and this money would be so helpful in paying for it. By the look on his face, I knew he would follow me. "It's not that deep, up to my knees usually," I said. "It can't be that much deeper now. 20 steps, and we'll be across."
"Don't make me sorry I did this,"
he said. "You won't be," I promised, as I moved toward the crossing spot. Our shoes came out of the mud noisily with each step, slowing us down. I raised my voice over the rushing water.
"Step carefully and go slowly."
My foot slipped sideways on the first rock, and in that second, I heard my mom's voice in my head.
"Look before you leap, David."
I slipped, but didn't fall. The next several steps were easy. I looked back at Gabe.
"We're almost there."
Gabe said,
"Yes, I guess you..."
Suddenly, the rock under my foot moved.
"Be careful. Don't step here," I told Gabe.
I looked for my next step. I could jump to the other side from there, I thought. I put my right foot down on it and balanced my left just above it. I got ready for the leap. Everything happened quickly. I felt myself falling, but couldn't stop. The last thing I remember was Gabe shouting,
"David!"
Chapter 6. Flash Mob to the Rescue. I woke up to Gabe throwing water on my face, telling me to wake up.
"I'm awake. What happened?" Then I remembered everything, including the fact that Jasmine and Jackson had to be far ahead of us.
"Let's go."
I tried to stand up. I felt a sharp pain in my right foot. At the same time, I felt very dizzy. It felt like the world was spinning.
Ouch.
I sat down again and put my head between my knees. That was better.
"Ugh. We need help,"
Gabe said. He pulled the cell phone out of his pocket and tried to make a call.
"Ugh, it doesn't work,"
Gabe said, shaking the phone, as if that would help.
"It got wet."
"You'll just have to go," I suggested, lifting my head a little.
"I don't think I should leave you. You could faint again,"
he replied, sounding worried. "Maybe I'll be better in a few minutes. Tell me the details," I said.
"Well, I almost slipped too,"
Gabe began.
"But then, Listen!
From a distance, we heard,
David! Gabe!
Over here!
We shouted back and forth until Travis and Amanda and some of our other friends came into view. Everyone said,
What happened?
And,
Are you okay?
At the same time, Gabe explained what happened. How did you find us? I asked.
Gabe told me where you were when he called. Then you never showed up at the store,
Amanda said.
And then I figured it out. I knew this bridge wasn't very strong. I knew that if the rain washed it away, that wouldn't stop you, Travis continued. You always act first and think later, you know.
I've heard that before, but I think I finally learned my lesson, I said. I tried to raise my head again. Hey, the world isn't spinning now. Let's go.
You can't walk,
Gabe said.
Travis and I will help you.
Amanda called my mom, who met us at the park's entrance, and then took me to the emergency room. Mom hugged me first, and then she yelled a little, and finally she cried. In a few days, I felt ready for anything once again. We didn't win the Stravinsky scavenger hunt. Jasmine and Jackson did, of course. But I am still so glad Gabe and I tried. We had a lot of fun. We learned a few things about Stravinsky, and I learned that sometimes I need to stop and think before I act. The best thing happened because our story was all over the news. People heard how important winning was to help Gabe pay for college, and they wanted to help him. He ended up with as much money in his college fund as if we had won the contest.